seven of us kids. We lived in a little town of about 200 people, Randall, Kansas. Not Randolph. I think there's a Randolph, Kansas, but Randall. It's north central Kansas in Jewell County. And we lived a block away. Actually, we lived right between the only two churches in town, and the one we attended was a block north. And I can tell you there were three things that were essential in our family, and that was attendance at church, God's Word, and prayer. And those three things were always three essentials and important in our lives. So I grew up, and I remember my mom teaching us prayers that you memorized and prayed. And then as we grew a little bit older, we learned to pray a little bit more spontaneous. But I kind of always felt, I remember as a young person feeling that I had to say that recited prayer along with the rest of my prayer. I don't know why I felt that way, but I did. And over the years, God has taught me a great deal about prayer. And that's what I want to share today on Mother's Day. I want to share how one of the most essential things God has taught me about prayer. I've emphasized several things a few weeks ago. I emphasized the importance of having a place and having a time. Keeping, at least for me, it helps me very much to keep a notebook and some kind of record of the things that I want to pray for. That may not be helpful to you, but it's helpful to me. But the greatest lesson God has ever taught me about prayer is how to pray Scripture. And there are many prayers in Scripture because throughout Scripture you find how important prayer was for God's people. In the Old Testament, Moses prayed, David prayed, Nehemiah prayed, the prophets prayed. Prayer was essential to the lives of God's people. And you get into the Gospels and right away you realize if prayer was essential for Jesus, and it was, there are at least 15 recorded times in the Gospels of Jesus praying. And sometimes as Christians we think, well, God is sovereign, so why do I need to pray? I can't answer all those kind of questions. But the one thing that I know is prayer is important for our lives because Jesus not only prayed, but he taught his disciples to pray. And when you come to the early church, they carried on the importance of prayer. In fact, when you look at the essentials of the early church in Acts 2:42, you find that they devoted themselves to several things, the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. Prayer was an essential in the early church. And you get to the book of Acts to chapter 6, and you find really the first major problem that occurred within the church, and it had to do with some of the widows, more from a Hellenistic or Greek background. They were getting overlooked in the distribution of food. And so they came to the apostles, and the apostles told them to appoint a group of men to take care of this so that they could devote themselves to the teaching of the word and to prayer. So we know that prayer was essential for the apostles, for the early church. And as you come to Paul's letters, we find a number of different occasions in which he prayed. And we're going to look at one of those today. And I got to tell you, of all the prayers that I pray, that I use as a guide, I don't just read this, memorize it and pray. I take the truths that are there and I use them to pray for myself, for my family, for our church family, and for others. Because if you don't know how to pray for people, if you don't know what their needs are, even if you don't know them, someone says, well, pray for me. And you say, well, I don't know them. How can I pray for them? Right here you go. This is the prayer to pray. So grab your note sheets. If you want to open your Bible, you can follow along. I'm in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. A couple of important things of context to the background is that Paul is writing to the church at Colossae while he is in chains at Rome. I believe he was in Rome at the time. And he wrote several letters. We call them the prison epistles or the prison letters. Those would include Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And all four of those he wrote from the same imprisonment. There was a second imprisonment, his final imprisonment, I believe, in which he wrote 2 Timothy. So Paul is writing to a church at Colossae, but there's a couple of very interesting things here in this text. Number one, he's praying for people he never met. That's interesting to me. How do you pray for someone you've never met? How do you know what their needs are? Well, all Christians have general needs, and so he does know how to pray for people that he never met. And that's one of the most, I think, helpful things about this prayer, is it is a prayer that can be prayed for anybody. I don't care what a person's need are. There are things in this prayer that he prays that will meet those needs. And the second thing that I could say about this is that whenever you pray scripture, such as Paul's prayer, the one thing you can know is you're praying God's will for those people. In fact, in 1 John 5:14 and 15, it says, "And this is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." How do I know what is God's will when I pray for people? Pray scripture, and you will know you are praying God's will. So, just as an introduction into the context, I want to just read to you Colossians 1, 3 through 8. That's the context, and I'll just point out a couple of things, and then we're going to jump into the prayer, and I'm going to show you how I at least use it as my guide. I would encourage you to use this prayer, maybe a prayer in Philippians or Ephesians and other prayers in the Bible as you pray for people. So he says, Paul writes to them, he says, "We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." So right away, at the very beginning of his letter, he writes to them. Again, people that he's never met, for the most part. One of them, Epaphras, he's met. But for the most part, he hasn't met any of them. And yet he says, "I pray always for you." Well, how do you pray for people, continually pray that you don't know? Again, we'll find out how to do that. Praying always for you, since we heard of your faith. Again, he's heard of it. He hasn't witnessed it firsthand, but he's heard of your faith, he says, in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. And one thing that I would say that you notice there is three very important words: faith, hope, and love. And remember at the end of 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, it says, "In these three remain faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love." And it's interesting, you find Paul using these three Christian virtues, faith, hope, and love, often in his letters together. You will see it here in other letters that he writes. I think 1 Thessalonians, there's others. "Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you as in all the world, also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even it has been doing in you also since the day you heard of it and understood the grace of God in truth." And so you see, the word of truth and truth is emphasized, the gospel, "just as you learned it from Epaphras." So they didn't hear the gospel from Paul, they heard it from a man named Epaphras. And he goes on to say, "our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ Jesus on our behalf, and he also informed us." So this is where Paul learned of the people, the Christians at Colossae, was through Epaphras, "who also informed us of your love in the Spirit." So now we're going to jump into the prayer, and I'm going to point out several truths and try to unpack it just a little bit. We won't go into tremendous detail, but enough that I think that it will help you. And I want to show you how I use it, at least as a guide. I pray this prayer often as a guide for my prayer. You don't even have to pray all of it. You can pray portions of it or all of it. And I want to, because I believe it's going to help you greatly. So moms, I don't know a better prayer you can pray for your kids, to be real honest with you. I don't. I pray this for my kids and my grandkids. And those of you praying for your moms, I don't know a better prayer you can pray for your moms. I'm being honest here. I just don't. This is such a powerful prayer packed with important truths that for all of us. So let me pray before we start. Lord, I just thank you so much for your word that guides us. We live in a world, Lord, where there's just a lot of people that they don't know how to do anything but just recite a prayer that they've learned somewhere along the line. And nobody teaches them. Nobody teaches them how to pray. But your word gives us so much guidance on how to pray. So I pray that you will be with me and that you will help us each to be alert and to be able to hear Paul's prayer, maybe in a way that some have never really thought about it, and realize how important these truths are and how they can be used as a guide for prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. For this reason, for what reason? For what he just wrote in 4-8, that he had heard about them. He said, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, their faith, hope, and love, and how they've been transformed by the gospel, we have not ceased to pray for you. So he prays continually for them. Again, people he's never met. And he prays for them. I don't know about you, but I've really, God has worked in my life recently, in recent months, it's been for several months, just causing me to realize more and more the need to pray. And I pray for a number of people that I've met once. And yet I can know how to pray for them by praying this prayer. We have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that. So here's the first component of the prayer. You may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. The beauty of this prayer is that all of us need this, right? This request. I don't know about you, but every day of my life, there are things that happen. I'm facing challenges that, you know, how do I deal with this? How do I know what to do? How do I respond to this? I think of some of you young people as you are growing up and you're faced with some of the challenges that you're going to, whether you're at school or on the ball field with your friends or just hanging out in the park or whatever you're doing, your friends are going to say and do things that you know aren't right. And maybe they're going to try to get you involved in some of those things. How are you going to know what to do? How are you going to know what to do? See, if we are praying, moms, for our kids this way, fill my child with the knowledge of your will, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That phrase, the fill with the knowledge of his will, expresses a deep and abiding understanding of what is important according to God and his word. See, that's what we want. We want our kids, we want our families, we want our church family. We want those we love to understand what is best according to God's Word. What is most important according to God's Word. So that they can discern God's will as they face the challenge and the vicissitudes and all of the hardships of life for all of us. And temptations. That they may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual. Again, no, you're going to see this word all. He's going to use that a lot. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Probably the way you distinguish between spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding, wisdom emphasizes what should be done to know what we should do. Whereas understanding emphasizes how to do it. There's kind of a difference there. We can know what we should do, but sometimes we won't know how to do it. But this prayer prays for both. All spiritual wisdom and understanding that will not only know what we should do, but know how we should do it, or how they, the ones we are praying for. So that's a purpose statement, you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So I'm going to kind of break this up into three thoughts. Let me just read it and then I'll come back. Here's how I first pray. I pray it almost verbatim. Maybe I'll pray for my family or Cheryl that God would fill her with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So she'll know not only what to do, so how to do it as she faced challenges. So you just pray that. And what a wonder! And if you prayed nothing else in this prayer, that'd be a wonderful request alone. But then, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I break this up into four specific requests when I pray it. First of all, that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. So the first thing I pray for is a worthy walk. Like if I'm praying for Cheryl, I'll say, Lord, help her to have a worthy walk today. And I love that term. And we sang about it this morning, step by step, about the idea of walking, the Christian life being a walk. It's step by step. It's one foot in front of the other. And that's how we're to live the Christian life. And we're to do it in a manner worthy of the Lord. And that's emphasized throughout Scripture. Let me give you a couple other verses. Ephesians 4:1, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul writes, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. Again, this is one of the prison epistles. These were all written about the same time. Ephesians, Colossians, and as well as Philippians 1:27. Only conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. So I pray that they be filled with the knowledge of God's will, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding, that they might have a worthy walk. And the second thing I pray is that they might have a pleasing walk. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects. It should be our highest ambition in life. Want to please our Father in heaven. So I pray, and I pray this for you as a church family too. When I have like my half days in prayer, I'll pray for everyone in the church family. And I pray many times, pray for many of you every day throughout the week and different times. And as I try to pray for you, these are some of the things I pray. So imagine you're at a job and you've got challenges, or maybe you're at home and you've got challenges or whatever. And I'm praying that you're going to be filled with the knowledge of God's will, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you'll know what to do and how to do it, and that you will have a worthy walk, that your walk, your decisions as you implement what God's will is in your life is going to bring glory to Him. It's going to be worthy of His name, worthy of the gospel, worthy of the truth of God's word, and then it's going to be pleasing to Him in all things, that God would look down in your life, and the way that you are facing your challenges, He's going to be so pleased with that. Those of you who are parents, you know that. You know when your child does something that just it just warms your heart, you're so pleased. God is. I pray that you'll have a pleasing walk, that God will be pleased with your walk, and that you'll have a fruitful walk. So let me summarize again. I'm praying that you'll be filled with the knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, that you'll have a worthy walk, a pleasing walk, and a fruitful walk. You see how I just summarized? Now this is how I do it. You can do it however you want it. But I've memorized, I've prayed this so many times that I don't even have to think about what the text says, because I know this. And I'll build on some of those as I pray. But a fruitful walk, bearing fruit in every good work. By the way, that's the purpose for every believer. In fact, Jesus, when He was speaking in John 15, that, and it's that parable of the vine and the branches to remain in the vine. Remember that? And He says in John 15:8, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. And so prove to be my disciples. So when I'm praying for someone to have a fruitful walk, I'm praying for the very thing that Jesus wants them to do and to be, to bear much fruit. In fact, I can't help but think about Ephesians 2:10, which says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. I think there are so many moments in our lives that God has prepared these divine appointments. And I can speak for myself, you know, sometimes I'm probably very oblivious to them. Maybe He's brought somebody in my life that I have an opportunity to impact for Christ. And, you know, I'm so caught up in what I'm doing and focused on me that I'm not realizing that this is one of those Ephesians 2:10 moments, divine appointments. And so when I'm praying for someone to have a fruitful walk, I'm praying that they're going to be aware and alert to what God, who God is bringing into their lives and the opportunities that they have to minister to them. So, let me summarize again. I pray that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, that you'll have a worthy walk, sometimes I have to think about this, to have a pleasing walk and have a fruitful walk. And then the next thing I pray is that you'd be filled with the knowledge of God. And that's the next request. Increasing in the knowledge of God. And it suggests really, I think, a deep understanding of who He is, what He's done, and what He's said. Growing in an understanding of who God is, His character, His nature, that He's a good God, that He's a just God, that He's a righteous God, that He's a holy God. He's a loving God. That He's a merciful God. That He's a gracious God. And you just go on, and it's just, I'm praying for people to know and understand who God is. And not only who He is, and of course this is going to come from God's Word, because this is where God has revealed these things, but not only who He is, but what He has said. So that they'll know God's Word, and I'm praying for them that they will know what He has done. One of the things that has helped me over the years as I face challenges is to remember that in the past how many times God has proved Himself faithful. He's a faithful God. And if we understand who God is, what He has said and what He has done, that too is going to strengthen us during those times. And so that's the next request. I pray that they would be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. And I usually kind of pray this in verbatim, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. They may be strengthened. It's a word that's often translated power itself, the term strength. There's actually a couple Greek words there, a verb and a noun. It really emphasizes ability more than anything. The ability to face the challenges of life, to face the hardships of life. That's really what it means. When you think about being strengthened, it means God's giving us its enablement. Think of it maybe more that way. God enabling us by His power. Or enabling us, no, with all power according to His glorious might. Strengthening us with all power according to His glorious might. His might that spoke the universe into existence. His might that holds everything together. I'm convinced that God is so sovereign, there is not one random atom in the universe that's outside of His sovereignty. And that's the might that we're talking about, and the might that raised Jesus from the dead after He won the victory over sin and death. That's the might we're praying for. So, and see, the thing is, when you pray this prayer for people, people are going to go through things and you're going to have no idea at the time. And it's going to be true of all of us. Something's going to happen at work. Something's going to happen at home. You're going to get a phone call. I mean, who knows? There's. I've lived long enough to know that life is, you know, you never know what's going to happen. You have no idea what every day is going to bring. Life can just change in a moment. How can I pray for people that they'll be prepared for that? Right? Everything we just prayed in this, especially that they'll be strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for the attaining of steadfastness and patience. Steadfastness is really the ability, I think, more than anything, is to deal with difficult circumstances. That's, I think, if you could define the difference between steadfastness and patience. Steadfastness focuses on having patience when you're under difficult circumstances, where the term translated patience means being patient with difficult people. Now, most of you don't have any difficult people in your lives, but that's a joke. You can laugh. Because I know you all have difficult people in your lives. Maybe not real difficult. Some of you may have real difficult people in your life that you have to deal with every day. All of us have at some time or other. All of us are probably have been difficult people for somebody at some point. But this is praying for them so that they will, if they're facing something I'm totally unaware about, I am praying this is God's will for their life. And then finally, joyously giving thanks to the Father. And, well, that's something, isn't it, to have joy in the midst of trials and tribulations and giving thanks. But notice the emphasis, what the focus is on this. Joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance. I think that's talking about heaven. There's a lot of debate on some of this. Of the saints in light. Some think that those are angels. I think that those are the holy ones. Those who have been set apart for God. Those who are saved and are in God's presence. Who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. And that alone should just, you know, prompt joy in our life. Well, on the back, I have kind of broken this down. I pray for the knowledge of God's will, and then I always add with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. You can pray for a worthy walk, a pleasing walk, and a fruitful walk. That's how I pray it. Pray for a growing knowledge of God, that they would grow in their knowledge of God. That's just essential for all of us. Jeremiah 9:23-24, thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me. That is really what's important in this life, is understanding and knowing God. That I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. And then pray for God's strength, that they'd be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of steadfastness and patience while having a joyful and a thankful walk. And you can, again, build on this, and you may know specifics in their life of, as you're praying for God's strength. You may know that they need patience in a particular situation. You may know they need steadfastness because they've got a hard situation in their life. Or you may be like Paul as he praises. You don't even really know them at all, only what little bit you've heard about them. And yet you are praying for them and praying God's will. And I'm convinced, for me, this is my favorite prayer in the Bible to pray. There are many others. But I pray that you will use this as your guide, because I think you're going to be blessed as I have been blessed. So let me close in prayer. Lord, I love this text. I love Paul's prayer. Just, it comes from a heart that I know that beat in sync with your will, God. And so I love praying this prayer for people, and I want to pray it for everyone here this morning, and for some who aren't here, that are part of our church family, or each of our own families. I pray that, God, you would fill us each with the knowledge of your will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That we would, as we face challenges in our life, we would be able to understand, Lord, what is the best way to approach this challenge? And not only what is the best way, but then how to do it. And really most important, that we would be able to look at life from your perspective and realize what is most important biblically. And not only realize that, but then begin to organize our lives so that we follow what's most important and that we put it into practice. And I pray that so that we would each have a worthy walk, that our lives would be worthy of the name of follower of Jesus Christ, that would be a pleasing walk, God. That it would please you what we say, not only on Sunday morning, but every day of the week, what we think, what we do. And that we would have a fruitful walk, that we would take advantage, be alert to those Ephesians 2:10 opportunities, those divine appointments that you put into our life in which we can impact other lives with your love and with the gospel. And I pray that we grow in our knowledge of who you are, what you've said and what you've done. That we would grow in our relationship with you.
that we'd better have a better grasp of your character, your nature. Because I know that's going to prompt worship. And it's going to prompt love. It's going to prompt obedience. And I pray, Lord, for all of us, you'd strengthen us with all power according to your glorious might as we face challenges, as we face hardships, so that we would have the attainment of steadfastness as we face those challenges in patience, as we face difficult relationships, whether it's sometimes within our families, maybe it's some of the kids at school are facing difficult relationships. Strengthen them, Lord, with all power, according to your glorious might. And for others, it may be at work, or maybe some other situation. And even though we do face challenges and hardships and disappointments and discouragements, help us to keep our eyes on things above and our minds on the things above, so that we would be joyful people, have a joyful and a thankful walk as we remember who we are and our inheritance that you have provided for us through Jesus Christ. Lord, I just thank you so much for your word. I thank you the way you guide us and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.